What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman.
For a Christian, the attitude we have towards this pandemic is completely different than it is for the rest of the world around us. The rest of the world around us does not live with hope. And so for them, safety is the highest good.
When you study biblical chronology, and if you're very careful about it and use careful use of the ancient sources, what you find out is the Bible is accurate over and over again.
I think really that the only two logical and reasonable options are to say Jesus claimed to be God, and either he understood himself to be God, or he was lying about being God.
This is Nancy from Fort Wayne. I listen to Issues while being isolated with the COVID virus. I am so thankful to have this program to help pass the time away.
This is probably the most famous incident of God fighting for his people when he tells them, don't fight. You just go march, blow trumpets, and I will knock down the walls of Jericho. And he does, just as he promised he would. It's not the only time God fights for his people. It's not popular to think of God as a fighter in our allegedly peaceful age. But, you know, he is referred to many times in the Old Testament as the Lord of hosts. And that doesn't mean Lord of a lot of people. It means Lord of armies. God is a fighter. Why does he have to fight for his people, especially during the conquest of the promised land, and does he still fight for his people, and if so, how? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the fall of Jericho in Joshua chapter 5. Then Dr. Ken Sherb joins us for our weekly series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, another incident of God fighting for his people, the Red Sea crossing. And we'll round everything off today talking with Dr. Kevin Golden, beginning a new series with him based upon the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name. We'll talk about the sacred names of God. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the fall of Jericho in Joshua chapter 5 and 6, Pastor Tom Baker. He hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Why does God have to fight for Israel when they are entering the Promised Land?
He has to fight for Israel because they, in and of themselves, do not have the power, the strength, the wisdom, and the insight to do battle with the many enemies that they are going to have in the land of Canaan. And that's kind of how the Sunday school lesson begins, with God, and we believe it's actually Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, coming to Joshua and telling him what he needs to do in order to destroy a city called Jericho.
So put this in its context. Tell us the story of how it is God conquers Jericho for them in a most unlikely way.
Yes, if you were to ask most people, when you think of the city of Jericho, what's the great miracle? I'd say most people would talk about what happened at that time that was so miraculous was the falling down of the walls. But in reality, there are two other miracles that occur prior to that. In fact, the Sunday school material from Enduring Faith, put out by Concordia Publishing House, encourages the teachers to read the first part of Joshua chapter 5 to get an understanding of what is going on. The people of Israel have gone 40 years in the wilderness, and they've reached the land of Canaan and gone over the Jordan River. And when the other kings in Canaan hear that the river had dried up, they really become frightened of these people. But the first miracle occurs that the people of Israel, and this is in verse 10 and following, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And on that very day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land. And that was the food that they found in Canaan. And guess what happened? According to verse 12, the manna that had been raining down on them for decades, every morning except Saturday, the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, and they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year, which was really delicious in comparison to what they had been eating. Remember, they kind of got sick of manna because they had it every day. And what the Sunday school lesson does, it says that what would be a good idea is to have a time where you would maybe feed the Sunday school children with some of the grapes and the fruit that was in the land of Canaan to show how delicious that food was. The second miracle begins with our Sunday school lesson, where Joshua was by Jericho, and he saw a man standing before him. And the man standing before him had his sword drawn. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the man said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I am the commander," he said, "and I have come." Now, how do we know that this is God? Because Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And guess what? The first thing the commander of the Lord, namely Jesus, says to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. What does that remind us of? It reminds us of Mount Sinai, Moses at the burning bush. God was in with and under the burning bush, and Moses had to take off his sandals from his feet because God had told him the place was holy. And we know that God, the person, was Jesus Christ because he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. Here he's referred to as the commander of the army of the Lord, which is, of course, the holy angels. Now, it then goes on to talk about this great city of Jericho. It was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. What does that mean? Well, the people inside the city, who were enemies of Israel, they did not want to come out because they knew Israel was out there, and they would not let anybody come in. So none went out. None came in. And the Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." And then he gives directions to Joshua as to how the people are going to conquer this city. What are they going to do? Are they going to get great balls of fire and throw it toward the walls and hopefully it goes over and burns down the city? No, it's not going to use any kind of warfare that was used in that day. He tells, this is the commander of God's army, Jesus himself, tells Joshua that they are to march around the city for 6 days with the trumpets of the priests blowing, and they go around the city once every day. Now, this shows us a big, big difference between those who had left Egypt and those who had entered Canaan. In fact, chapter 5 is about the fact that all the men of war who had left Egypt, all the Israelites, and maybe even some of the Egyptians who had joined with them, they ended up dying in the wilderness because of their unbelief towards God and their rejection of his message. Remember the golden calf? Then they're complaining they don't have enough water, they don't have enough meat, they don't have enough bread. So they never seem to be satisfied. All of them died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, who were the two spies that had gone into the promised land, Canaan, and by the way, were protected and hid from the enemy by this woman called Rahab, who just so happened to be a prostitute, and we're going to get back to her in a moment. At any rate, the difference between those who had left Egypt and those who were entering Canaan was one of faith. Can you imagine the people who left Egypt, even after they had crossed the Red Sea, and then they were told, okay, when we get to this city, you march around it six times, blowing trumpets. Then the last day, you keep marching around it, and you start yelling and screaming and making a loud noise, and the walls will fall down. Well, nobody would have believed that, because they didn't believe that God would take care of them for water or for meat or for bread, even after having crossed through the miraculous Red Sea crossing. So this was a big difference. There's no complaint on the part of those who entered into the land of Canaan. And those were the young men and women who had been born in the wilderness or were under a certain age, and God did not permit them to die and allowed them to get into Canaan. So they actually obey Joshua, and the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns, and they went forward blowing the trumpets, and they took with them the Ark of the Covenant. Now, can you imagine the Ark of the Covenant, that holy sepulcher, that was going to be involved in this war? And they still took it with them, even though there was a chance that all the soldiers in Jericho could have gone through the gate and taken the Ark of the Covenant, which, by the way, did happen later on in Israel's history. But the armed men were walking before the priests, who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, and the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua said something to them, and he got that from Jesus. Do not shout or make your voice heard for these first 6 days. But on the day that I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. So they went around the city once, and then they returned to the camp. The very next morning, once more, the priest took up the Ark of the Lord, and they took the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And then, when we get back from the break, we're going to say, what happened on the seventh day when they were marching around the city, and they were marching around it not once, but seven times?
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the fall of Jericho, recorded in Joshua chapters 5 and 6. When we come back, we will talk about those seven circuits around Jericho on the seventh day. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the fall of Jericho. So, Tom, you brought us up to day 6 of the people's march around Jericho. What happened on the 7th day?
Well, on the 7th day, the priests also blew the trumpets, and they went around 7 times instead of 1 time. And Joshua said to the people, and this is verse 16 of Joshua chapter 6, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, that's fascinating, because it didn't look like they had the city. The walls were still up. There probably were soldiers lined up on the top of the walls, making fun, for example, of the people of Israel. And yet, Joshua says, the Lord has given them the city. And everything will be devoted to the Lord through its destruction. And only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she had protected the messengers of Israel when they had first spied out Jericho. But you are not to take anything for yourselves. In fact, later on, somebody had taken some stuff and buried it in his tent, and then it was found out, and he himself was killed and his family for going against the word of the Lord. So what were they to do with all of the gold and the vessel of bronze and iron? They were to go and put it into the treasury of the Lord, and we find out that it later became that which helped in even in the building of Solomon's temple. So the people shouted, the trumpets were blown, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they all shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people were able to go up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Now, they then devoted the city to destruction. Not only men, but women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword. And so a question may be asked by the Sunday school, why would God kill everyone there? And the reason for that is that city had been part of Canaan and had sins of child sacrifice, prostitution, sorcery, that's working with demonology, and many other such sins. And God did it precisely because he did not want Israel to be tempted by their evil. And we know that God had a good mind in that, because later on, Israel did get tempted. And that's why you had the fall of the 10 tribes under the Assyrians and the fall of the 2 tribes under the Babylonians, because they went and worshiped other gods. So they destroyed the city and the people, and they took the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and put it in the treasury of the house of the Lord. But the 2 men who were the spies, Joshua and Caleb, who were protected by Rahab, they went to her house and they took her and her entire family to safety. In fact, she has become so important that there are 2 women traced in the line of Jesus in the New Testament. One, of course, is Ruth, who was a Gentile, Mary Boaz, and the other one was Rahab, who was a prostitute. And through her children, she had married an Israelite, she also led to Jesus Christ. So all these things are going on. And of course, many in Israel were unaware of some of this, but they had no reason why God was doing what he was doing. And this is the important point to get across to the Sunday school children. God has ways that we are to follow that often don't make any sense to us. And sometimes when we follow them, we end up suffering from people who hate God or don't want us to have anything to do with him. And so it's not at all unusual that a pastor will hear from his members, "What did I do to deserve this?" And that is really a very selfish kind of attitude, because what you deserve is eternal punishment. In the day that you sin, you shall surely die. And so what Concordia Publishing House does with this material is show us the distinction between the just God and the merciful God. I always like to talk about the just God gives you what you deserve. The merciful God does not give you what you deserve, eternal damnation. And he also is a gracious God who gives you what you don't deserve, the forgiveness of sins. If I was doing a sermon on this or teaching Sunday school children, how do we get into the category where we no longer fall under the justice of God and get the punishment and consequences of our sin that we deserve? And according to Scripture, that occurs through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means we believe the promises that Jesus has given to us. And those are found even in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah 30, verse 18, "The Lord wants to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you." Then you got Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." So here's the connection about Christ. Christ, he is the mighty one. We cannot fight against the devil alone any more than the people of Israel were enabled to fight against the Canaanites alone. Only God has the power to bring justice into our lives, and also by the cross of Christ to give us the forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from eternal death. So we are trying to get the children to understand even more how God is merciful and also gracious. Remember, Rahab was a prostitute. Now, she didn't continue in that vocation because that was a sin, but she was living among the Canaanites and therefore had many sins on her. But because of her love and protection of the 2 spies, she and her entire family was saved. And there was no reason why God should have done that, because she deserved eternal condemnation like the rest of us. But not only was she saved, but God decided to make her part of the lineage to Jesus Christ, as the New Testament makes only so clear.
With a minute, the law and gospel of the story of the fall of Jericho?
Yes. The law is, we see that in the people of Jericho. Here come these Israelites. Yeah, they went through a water that was divided, and it was dry land, the Jordan. But we still are mighty powerful. We're great fighters. We don't need to be worried about them. The gospel is that God delivered Jericho into the hands of the Israelites because he had made a promise all the way back to Abraham that they would come and take this land. And now the teacher needs to apply this to the students, that we too are often like the people in Jericho. We think we can handle life on our own, and we don't realize that, particularly as a Christian, God keeps his promises to us. All things work out together to our good, even though at times it's not obvious to us. And we have a God who, yes, he is just to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, but to those who are believers in the promises of Jesus, he is merciful and gracious. And that occurred to the children when they were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we return, our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, we'll talk about another incident of God fighting for his people with Dr. Ken Sherb, the Red Sea Crossing. Stay tuned. What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted, that nothing else happened in this house, but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues, etc. Guest, Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.